Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
#WAW. What a week. What a week. Eita, welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week. My name is Fresh Kinna Big Dog Ncha Etona. So what we're going to start doing once a month, because I'm constantly getting DMs with questions. People are curious. Some people even ask on the timeline. We're going to, once a month, pick 10 to 15 questions and answer them, because clearly some of you are very curious and I don't always have an opportunity to answer the questions that you want to ask. So we're going to start doing that. My Meninja, we'll ask them off camera, because she says she doesn't want to outstage me or outshine me. So she'll do this off camera. But before we do that, you need to remember that tomorrow is the Afro Exchange by Johnny Walker. It's a creative summit. And if you caught last week's episode, I was hanging out with Mpimi Mashimbie, a culture marketing manager at Diageo. They are the architects behind the Johnny Walker Afro Exchange Creative Summit. Now, one thing that I appreciate about this creative summit is the fact that it's not just a brand saying, oh, there's a summit, we're going to get pull-up banners and teardrop banners and brand the hell out of the thing. They are on some, we are building this thing with you. We're going to be the architects. This is beyond just slapping a brand on a thing. We're going to build the infrastructure because we're going to walk this thing with you. And one thing I love about this continent is the fact that we've been walking. We all have journeys that we've walked, sometimes with ourselves because maybe we want to go faster, sometimes with the community. So for a Johnny Walker to be a part of something like this, 500 people in one room, music, fashion, art, established names, people who are still trying to get into the room, people who are still looking into the room through the window, all in one room, co-creating in labs, built by Johnny Walker. For me, that is incredible, incredible stuff. And if you want to be a part of the summit, which is happening tomorrow, you have one last opportunity. What you need to do is go to the podcast that I did with Mpimi last week. Who is the African creative that you want to see in the room? It could be music, fashion, art, one name. Go back. I'll be reading them and you might stand a chance to win a ticket and the last remaining seat at this summit. It's a great summit. Shout out to every single person that is building this platform, but most importantly to Johnny Walker for the Afro Exchange Creative Summit. Go comment, go tell us who you'd like to see at the summit and you could be joining us there tomorrow.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Eita, welcome back. It is time for the DM Q&A session on Wow What a Week. We're going to do this once a week, once a month rather, where we troll through my DMs for interesting questions that you might have asked that either I'd never got a chance to, or yeah, you know, life happens. So we have things answered than not answered. And we're going to start. Please meet Kels. Kels is my meninja. But she wants to be off camera because she says it's my show and not hers. Although she should have her own show, but that's a story for another day.
I'd think rather not.
Hey, Kels, what's up?
I'm good and you? I don't believe you actually allowed me to read your DMs. I think that's...
Oh, yes. By the way, if you DM me, she reads them before I do. I'm just putting it out there. She reads them before I do. And if she agrees to meet you at some alley, it wasn't me, it was her. So, yeah, DM me at your own peril.
I don't think you should have told me that. I mean, told them that because, like, this first one, this lady says she's 47. Mm-hmm. She's recently divorced, has a son, and has a sleeve tattoo, and she thinks you guys should date if you want to do coffee.
She has a son. Or is it me and her should date?
Yes. You don't. No, you don't have to answer that, but...
So what is she saying?
That she has a sleeve tattoo.
Okay.
And, yeah, she thinks you guys, if you're single, should do coffee.
I don't know about the coffee. And I don't know if I'm, listen, I think to protect the innocent, we can't do coffee, right? But also to protect the innocent, I can't deny or confirm anything. But I'm very, very happy where I am. Very, very, very happy.
Okay, so let's get into.
If you look, there's a tail wagging there. That's me right now. So yeah.
Okay, so one of the DMs says, "How do you separate DJ Fresh from Thato? I once saw you with your kids and wanted to ask for a picture, but I wasn't sure if it was okay for me to approach you."
That's a good question though, because generally DJ Fresh is the performer. But he's nothing without Thato, because DJ Fresh's foundation is Thato through and through. You know what I mean? So, and I think DJ Fresh is audacious, and he has bigger balls than Thato, because Thato is actually very shy, very reserved. Thato would rather be home. Thato would rather be home with the kids. Thato would rather be not having to deal with the spotlight and everything else. So I literally have to almost put on a DJ Fresh mask to go out there and spend time with people and be brave and be patient with people.
So should I approach you for a picture or not if I see you with your kids?
So generally, I say read the room. And the room is never difficult to read. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that whose fan I am. But if I see them with their kids, for argument's sake, if it's they are eating and we have food in our mouths, I am not going to approach and ask. You know what I mean? No matter how much of a fanboy I am, I almost believe read the room, there's a time and place. But also generally, I mean, we can't police people's excitement either. You know, some people lose their minds. And if it you know, the timing is right, despite the situation not being right, the timing might allow for it to happen. It's like people who ask for selfies at funerals.
Yeah.
It's about timing. If I'm busy looking into an open casket, that is not the time to ask me for a picture.
No, it's awkward all the time.
You know what I mean? But there are people who will have perfect timing, like we'll walk into our cars, then they might steal a picture. I will almost allow that. But also if I'm crying and there's tears and snot and maybe even drool and they're all meeting here, then you want to come and say, let's take a selfie. I don't know.
That wouldn't work.
So I think read the room, but also because I get it. I've been doing this at this level for about 30 years. So you have diehard fans and you can't begrudge people for falling in love with you. And you can't create a reason for people to fall in love with you and then make them regret it. So I try by all means to take as many pictures as I can, as many conversations as I can. Giftana had a party in Katlehong on Saturday. Incredible party, sold out. I probably took 99% of the pictures that I was asked to take. I was sitting down, someone wants a picture, I stand up. I did that for 3-4 hours straight. And I didn't mind, because those are your people, man. Those are your people.
So you don't switch off.
So I didn't mind at all. You're always on. And sadly with radio also is, and that's the one thing I lamented when I was off radio for 4.5 years, that the one thing I appreciated about being off the radio is that I was able to switch off. So like even now as we're doing this, I'm thinking about tomorrow's radio show. I'm already thinking about what I was doing on Monday on the radio. I'm thinking about the link I did yesterday that I'm not happy about. So radio keeps you going. So you need to understand that my mind is, there's a radio tab, there's a parenting tab, because my kids have crazy schedules also. So I do a lot of the school pickups, the extramurals, I'm doing that. So there's a radio tab, a parenting tab, but there's also a make time for your people tab. So yeah, you're never off.
Do you really have the same 24 hours as the rest of us?
I've got a crazy day because I'm up at 3:30 in the morning, and the first thing you do is you check the internet to see what happened overnight while you were sleeping. Can it make radio content in the morning? I mean, yes, we've got a show producer, but I'm a hands-on kind of person. I want to do things myself more often than not. So yeah, that's what you do. Get to studio at 5. We wrap the show at 10. By 11, I'm either at gym or at a meeting.
My daughter is working part-time because she's on a gap year. So sometimes I pick her up from work at 12:30 because she has got French at 1. Is that at 1 or 2? It's at 1. Sorry, she has my entire shift.
Is it 1?
So she's got French lessons because she's writing French at the end of the year. She's got French at 1. My son is out of school at 2, so I pick him up. He's got extra murals. He's got maths. He's got tennis. He's got soccer. So I'm literally chasing my tail every single day. And I don't mind.
Jeez. I think off the foot of you talking about parenting and how busy their schedule, I mean, your children's schedule is. Mm. Do I say schedule or schedule?
It doesn't matter.
It's quite.
Timetable.
There's one DM that says, I'm a single father with 2 children. Mm. Their mother walked out on us and I'm struggling to work, take care of them at the same time. Some days I feel like taking my life because it's too much. Mm. They don't have a question, but I think judging from how you manage being a single father, that's something that you would, I don't know, advise him on.
You know what I did? When we lost Taviso, the first thing I was asked by family on my side and her side is, what help do you need? And I told them that the first thing I want to do is every task that she ever did, I want to personally walk it myself. Because then it will give me an idea of how much work there was.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman did a lot, eh?
Mm.
Every single day. The days I look at our grocery budget and I'm like, she did this with the less money.
What are you buying?
So I literally spent a full year after we lost her doing every single run that she did. So whether it was school drop-offs or pickups or extra murals or taking Wandi to get bras or to get underwear or to go to the gynae, I did all of that. Because then it gave me a better understanding of how much help I do need. You see, I don't want to just jump into help me with everything. Because I almost felt that it felt like it would be a detachment of sort. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I remember I was talking to an aunt of mine the other day, and she was saying, thank you for not dumping the kids with their grandparents. Because that's what a lot of people instinct will say, do that. Either send them to your mother or to their mother, to your mother-in-law or any of the grandparents. And often people do that not because they don't love their kids, but because it's overwhelming or you need help.
Yeah, but I think it's also because, I'm sorry to say this, it's always seen as though it's the woman's job.
Oh, yes, so that men can't raise children.
Yeah, so it's like, why am I expected to raise them? You know, like a lot of people, like you're saying, they'll drop their kids off with their parents. They get raised by their grandparents, or they get a full-time nanny where they are, in inverted commas, co-parenting with the nanny.
Mm.
So men are not stepping up as single parents as much as they should.
Actually, a lot of men are stepping up. Unfortunately, it's the deadbeats that give the men that are stepping up a bad name. Because I am walking in this lane, it's like they say, if you buy a white Corolla, you're going to start seeing way more white Corollas than you thought existed. I am walking that right now. I'm meeting a lot of men who are raising their kids solo, either because the wife passed away or they got custody or whatever the circumstances are. And a lot of men who are stepping up and doing what needs to be done. So for me, it was, I needed to appreciate it to know the help I need. And I found out the help I need, but I am literally doing the stuff two parents used to do most of the time. So where I'm on radio, then the aunt will assist with the school drop-offs or the pickups because they've got extra murals up the yazoo. I mean, you send me that schedule every day. So every evening at 7, 8 p.m., she sends me my schedule for the next day. It's literally a list of, don't forget, this is what is happening tomorrow for you and the kids. And I find it helps, though, because I mind map everything. A scenario plan and a mind map. So my mind operates almost on a timeline. So literally in my mind right now, I can see what's going to happen at 2 p.m., 3 p.m. It's all, I don't know how to explain it.
But the fact that you are there and you've also stepped up actually makes me very appreciative. So thank you. And please don't cry. And please don't cry. Yo.
Oh my gosh. I didn't expect that.
So she also stepped up in just saying, if you need help, I'm there.
Get my man.
And it helps that my kids love my manager. Imagine if they hated you.
They can't. I'm a cool aunt around the world.
Yes, you are. So to my guy who says he's overwhelmed, I think don't be afraid to ask for help where you need help. So I know I've got an army of helpers that can step in for other things.
Mm.
But I'll play that card only when I'm desperate. I choose to do everything because maybe I'm a sucker for punishment. You know what I mean? But I'm also seeing this as an opportunity to have other connection points with the kids, other opportunities to spend time with the kids and have conversations we might not have had because someone else would be collecting them. And I have the privilege of having a flexi schedule of sorts. Most parents don't. Most parents are working 9 to 5. They like to spend more time with their kids, but they can't. And I get it. That's probably why I'll never be mad at my parents for not even attending one sports day, one play, one recital, like nothing, because they were busy.
Mm.
They put us through good schools because they were working all the time. So I'll never be mad at my parents. But I think one responsibility we have to our kids is to try and give them every single thing our parents couldn't. That's the least you can try and do for your children. Obviously, circumstances differ. But to my guy, I think he must hang in there, man. And I think taking your life would be unfortunate because then they've lost both parents.
Yeah.
So ask for help, get help, speak to a social worker, speak to your church elder, talk to someone, man. There are a lot of forums also, is it fora, where people with similar issues or similar interests meet and discuss and talk. So find people who might be going through what you're going through, share with them and see how you guys can walk this journey together. But giving up can't be an option. And I said this on the Clement Magnatella show on Talk Radio 702, that no amount of anything that I've gone through will ever have me feeling suicidal, because even where the chip at the most down, I still enjoy life. Life is still a beautiful thing. The fact that you can get up in the morning and say, I'm going to try again. The fact that you can say, oh, wow, this was the goal this month and I hit that goal. It's an incredible feeling, man.
It's good to have a positive
outlook. So there's a cliche. If you can be in a bad mood for no apparent reason, you can be in a good mood for no apparent reason. So it works for me.
You work with that.
Yeah.
This is from another single parent. Ooh. It's a hard one to read. I need help to pay my son's school fees, from the last year. I need help to pay off my son's school fees from last year, or else he won't be able to attend school now. I see you helping others, but don't respond to my DM. How do you pick who you help, or am I just the unlucky one?
It's not about unlucky one, and I'm sorry that I couldn't get to your DM previously, but because of the work I've done over the last 27 years through my foundation and my radio shows and everything else that we've done, I'm literally fielding gang emails, DMs, and even direct requests in public. So I won't get through all of them. And often I can help where either the budget allows, because often it's with my own money, or where I can use a relationship to unlock that opportunity for someone. But it, unfortunately, I won't be able to help everyone. But the day I win the Powerball is the day I will help as many people as I can. Unfortunately, I guess I'm dumb like that. Any extra money I may have, more often than not, goes to helping someone. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'll never be rich, actually. I'll never be rich because I am constantly helping other people.
Okay, this question is from me.
Yes.
Trying not to get upset at you. When do you say no? Because I feel like you're constantly helping people, whether it's people in the industry, whether it's strangers that approach you, whether it's family or friends. there's always something that you're doing. There's always a favor that you're doing for someone, whether it's even just a gig or you're sending money to them.
Yes.
Like all the time.
Mm.
So as your manager, I don't manage Thato Sekwane.
Mm.
I manage the DJ Fresh brand.
Mm.
Sometimes you go, like, it's a lot.
Mm.
So when do you say no because it affects the business?
I think I found my no over the last probably 3-4 years. And it's actually liberating to be able to say no. Even to meetings. I mean, Somizi taught me one thing when we did breakfast together at Metro. I was eavesdropping on a conversation and someone wanted to meet Somizi. And the first thing Somizi said is, I'd like to have a meeting with you, but the first thing I want to know from you is, am I going to make money or am I expected to spend money? Because if I'm spending money, I'm not interested. I don't have appetite to spend money right now. But if there's an opportunity for me to make money, maybe we can meet. Send me a short proposal. And based on the proposal, I will decide if I can make the meeting or not. Because I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste our time. I got that from the Somizi book of Let's Not Waste Each Other's Time. It's actually liberating to also be able to be honest with people. Because sometimes we don't want to offend people. The way we are so afraid of offending people, if someone was talking and they spat on you by mistake here, you won't even go like this because we're so afraid of offending people. You know what I mean?
Nahan.
They spat on you, but you can't even go like this because you feel you're going to offend them. So I'm at a stage where I'm not going to go out of my way to treat you in an undignified manner, but also I refuse to sit in the discomfort of the inability to say I'm not able to. Or I don't want to, or I don't have the appetite for that. So I am finding my no, although sometimes it's framed differently.
Mm.
But it's an incredible feeling. Even with family members, the ability to tell family members without sounding like an asshole or sounding like, hey, well, now you know it all, that I am not able to right now. Or my time doesn't allow. Or my budget is swak.
But you're DJ Fresh.
I am a human being, and human beings go through ups and downs. So, yeah.
I think for me, that's my biggest gripe with the people that ask for things. You know, like I go through some of the DMs and then you see people asking you for an old cell phone, or some would even ask for old equipment because they want to start DJing.
There's a woman in Botswana who asked me to buy her a Harley Davidson. And when I took exception, she took offense. She wanted a Harley Davidson from me.
Yeah, so like that lady. And
she said her biggest dream was to be a biker girl.
Yes, and because you ride bikes.
I must get her a Harley Davidson. Let that sink in for a second. Yeah.
So how did, like, where do you draw the line? Because there's people like that.
My biggest worry is if I won the Powerball, I might have bought her the Harley Davidson.
Maybe this is why you haven't won the Powerball. Do you understand that? Because there's that. There's people that want $50,000 to start up their businesses.
Mm.
There's people who need medical assistance.
Mm.
You know, there's the guy that wanted a wheelchair that you assisted with, you know, but how fairly?
For me, if I'm able to help you improve your quality of life, or I know someone that can, I will. Like the dude that needed a wheelchair. We assisted with a wheelchair. There's a listener who needs breast reduction because the size of her breasts affects her quality of life.
Yeah.
She can't even go for runs or anything. And we called Dr. Brian live on my radio show, Dr. Brian Monaisa.
Mm.
And he agreed to, because obviously there's still a cost.
Yes.
You know, the cutting and everything else you can do in the house, but you still need to pay for an anesthetist. You still need to pay for a surgical room. You still need to pay for a ward room for recovery. And Dr. Brian Monaisa said, I'll take care of all of that. So if I can help improve your quality of life at a health level, well, I know someone that can, I'll do it. You know, and that's part of my why. My why has always been, if I can help someone, I'm going to do it. If I can make a difference in someone's life, I'm going to do it. That's actually what my why is.
Mm.
And the good Lord gave me platforms that allow for me to leverage whatever goodwill I've built to be able to do that. And I can't stop doing that because that's what my why is, you see.
So what was your career why when you started versus now?
My why has never changed. My why has always been with whatever platform, whatever opportunity, is there an opportunity to change people's lives, to make a difference, to make impact in society or people's minds and hearts? If there's no opportunity to do that, then it doesn't feed my why. If it doesn't feed my why, it doesn't feed my soul. If it doesn't feed my soul, why should I do it? You see. So I've lost good money opportunities simply because they did not feed my why. I remember I got a very, very large money offer to endorse a beer about 16 years ago, and I turned it down simply because I don't drink beer, and I'm not going to lie to my people and say, drink this beer because it's good beer for you. Meanwhile, I'm just chasing the check.
But how do you do you, sorry, how do you then select what you do and what you don't? Because at the end of the day, you need to eat. You need to cover your bills. You need to take care of your children. And longevity as a celebrity is not guaranteed.
If it's not authentic and doesn't feed my why, and it feels like, and even to the people that follow and support me, even to them, it feels like we know this one is lying or did it for the money. I'm not going to do it. So if it means I'm making less money or I'm making no money, Mudimu will provide. And failing which, I've got parents. We built them, we helped them build a nice house in Makaling in Bos. So I can always go back home and live with my parents. So I'm not even worried about a roof over my head. There's no shame in downgrading and going back home to regroup if that's what you need to do. So I'm not worried about such.
Would you go back to bots?
To retire eventually, yes. I mean, I've got a nice tract of land that we are working on farming, amongst other things. But I mean, I've lived in SA longer than I've lived in Bots. I came here when I was 20, 21. I've been here 32 years, 33 years.
Jeez.
In fact, that's why I've got both flags on my thumbs. So Bots flag and an SA flag. Because the one birthed and raised me and then the other built me. So yeah.
There's a DM that says, why don't you do more work in Botswana and more visible charity work to show your connection to home and that you're proud?
The thing is, it's not that I don't do work in bots to make a difference, but I'm a firm believer in always make a difference in the immediate place where you are earning a living. So it's not to say where you come from is not important. And unfortunately, I don't PR the hell out of every single thing that I do because that's not why I do the things that I do. If I PR'd every single thing that I do, every single difference that I make in people's lives, I'd be releasing a press release every day, every week. So that's not why I do it. So because it's not in the papers, it doesn't mean it's not happening.
I guess people want to see and they want to
Then
connect with you.
sometimes then look for people who are doing it for PR reasons or who are PRing it. But for me, those that know because they've been exposed to it will know. And for me, that's all I need. As long as I sleep well at night and my conscience is clear and I don't have to look over my shoulder, then I'm happy. I'm more than happy. I'm at peace.
Oh, okay. So what's the biggest misconception that people have about you?
That I am aloof, that I'm unapproachable, that I am full of crap. I can be full of crap because I'm very opinionated. I've been opinionated since I was a child because I was bullied and body shamed. And the only way I could hit back often was to give you a taste of your own medicine. So that's where the sharp mind, tongue, and wit probably came from. That when you are body shamed and they make fun of whatever it is about you, you learn to hit back and give them a taste of their own medicine. So I think my sharp mind came from that. And for watching a lot of legal dramas, watching Matlock, watching, I think it was Mason on Santa Barbara. Those are some of the minds that cultivated this mind to be able to operate at the speed that it does. But even days, I'm shocked at myself at some of the things I say on the radio. It's not because I didn't think I would. I just didn't think my mind would conjure them up that fast. You know what I mean?
And travel so fast to your mouth.
Exactly. So there are days even I'm shocked that, oh, flip, okay, your mind went there. But I know it did because it can. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're body shamed and you f often find ways of dealing with it. You know, I could have wallowed in self-pity and felt sorry for myself and cried about it. or you fight back, you push back, you push me, I push you back. I don't have other cheeks to turn, unfortunately. I wasn't raised like that. Okay, I was raised to turn the other cheek by a Roman Catholic mother, but I don't turn the other cheek.
But, okay, so this is from me. How do you then move from being the child that was bullied, body shamed, to go into a career that is out there? I mean, you're famous, so everyone wants to know every single thing about you.
You see, the calling said to me, because that's where my talent is taking me, that's the vehicle I'm going to be using to try and make a difference in people's lives. It always goes back to the calling. I remember, in fact, I've had six people within the church now say, when am I going to answer the call to minister? And this is people in different countries, different parts of SA. It's happened in Namibia. It's happened in Bots. They don't know each other, but they've all said the same thing to me, that I have a calling to minister. Even Tabiso used to say that to me, that, you know, one day you'll wake up to your calling. And I tell her that I minister through the radio. I minister through the music I play in clubs, the music that we release. So ministering does not have to be at a pulpit with a Bible and, you know, hugging the Bible. I will always hug my Bible and I'll always pray every day, but I can minister in other ways because you can change lives in many, many different ways. And I could argue that the most troubled people might be the people who are running into the nightlife and running away from the realities. Isn't that the best place to minister?
No.
No, and ministering is not talking the Bible and Jesus. That's what I'm saying, that the one song I play for you today that's going to remind you why it's worth living another day is my ministering.
Okay, we approach it with that.
Yes.
That works like that.
So I minister every single day.
Do you enjoy being famous?
No. I often lament that I'm a reluctant public figure. And had I had the foresight of doing this like Mzege Zege with a mask, I would have done that from day one. Because I'm a very private person. I'm an introverted, or is it an extroverted introvert?
Yeah.
I prefer here. I mean, I remember even when we got married, I was like, does this mean we have to share space? Because I love my space.
It is.
I love my space. I couldn't be home alone for 3-4 days and miss no one, and I'll be fine with it.
You really chose the wrong career.
I love my space. But once you're out there, because what I'm doing is ministry of sorts, it feeds my soul. It feeds my soul because it feeds my why. Rinse, repeat, and you'll be happy.
Okay, but now you talk about your career and what you do being a calling.
Mm-hmm.
This, I wanna read this DM because I feel like then you would need to answer. You've been a DJ and on radio for, you said, over 30 years, right?
I've been on radio 34 years now, yeah.
Do you ever get bored of what you're doing? And then do you think you'd pivot?
I will never get bored of what I'm doing. It's like saying to a teacher who's been teaching since they were 20 and they're now 53, don't you get tired of teaching? No, you don't, because you are, I mean, I'll give you an example. You are literally walking with and carrying different generations every 1 to 3 to 5 years. So, for instance, I mean, I was playing at Blue Room in Hatfield the other day. And the average age in the Blue Room was probably 18, 19, 20. Back in 1998, when I started DJing in Pretoria, they were 18, 19, 20. So these are the kids of the kids I used to DJ to, 27 years ago.
That's crazy because I saw you in Pretoria.
Exactly. You first saw me in Pretoria.
Times four.
Yourself, exactly. What year was that again?
2006.
Exactly.
Times four, Hatfield.
So I've walked with multiple generations of people doing what I love. If ever there was anything to be grateful for, it's that. So I'll never get bored because I love what I do.
So I shouldn't ask you, when are you going to retire?
When your mother, who's a teacher, or your father, who is a lawyer or government employee, retires at 60 or 65, I will also do the same.
That's soon, eh? Sorry, I'm busy calculating. I'm busy calculating
your age. It's not soon enough. I still have a good 12 years before retirement. But even then, it's not going to stop me. I mean, my DJ heroes are still going in their 60s. So why should I stop?
We'll see what happens.
I'm telling you right now that at 80, we'll be there having the Zimmer frame pool party.
That's crazy.
Or at 100, it's been the delays.
With
the diaper groove.
No, that's disgusting, dude. That is disgusting. So this one.
Can we ask the last one?
No, it's not the last one.
Okay.
What financial mistakes did you make in your early years that help you right now?
It was the need to buy expensive cars and be seen in expensive cars. It was almost a poison. There was a stage where every year I'd change cars. Or I'd add a car.
Mm.
And reached a point where I was like, it's not sustainable. And it doesn't actually do anything for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I stopped caring about material things and flashy, shiny things. It's nice to have. I'm not saying don't get it if that's what you want to do. Also, you need to remember that we're wired differently. We're built differently. Our journeys are not the same. I'm just saying for me, what stopped working was all the flash and everything else. But what I appreciate, though, is the fact that as much as you might get flash, as much as you might have access to certain things, you don't have to be consuming conspicuously at the same time. You know what I mean? So, you know, if it works for you to flaunt your money on social media, by all means, do it. For me, it does nothing for me. I don't feel more or less important because people saw me pouring champagne over my head because it's my birthday, or burning money because it's my birthday, or burning my expensive sneakers, or drowning them in alcohol because it's my birthday. But if it works for you, listen, knock yourself out. But for me, like I said, it does nothing for me. Also, what I learned along the way is there's so much peace in parking ego before you do certain things. Because now you do them for the sake of doing them and not to feel like the man, or not to feel like now they know me, or now they'll know I'm going to teach them. You see, so yeah, man, it's just, there's peace in parking ego. There's peace in doing things for the love of it. And not because you think, now they must know who I am, or I'm important, or do you know who I am? I'll never say to people, do you know who I am? Yes, there's a privilege of people knowing you. You might get an opportunity to jump the queue. Even that. I mean, I was at Home Affairs the other day getting an ID for my daughter, and they wanted us to jump the queue. And I felt bad that this guy's trying to help us jump the queue.
Because you're DJ Fresh.
Exactly. So yes, there's a lot of privilege that comes with what we build in our industry.
Mm.
But I still feel very embarrassed about the privilege, the public privilege it comes with.
Speaking of embarrassment,
mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the last question.
Good.
I saw a tweet this week that says a lot of South African celebrities have left Twitter, right? And it got me thinking of how much bullying a celebrity gets, and how people judge you, people criticize you. It's not just one person, and it's all the time. How do you deal with that?
Again, park ego, right? Not only park ego, but regardless of what people might think about you, tweet about you, post about you, they're entitled to their opinions, but not to their own facts. And as long as you know your truth and you know the facts of your life, the facts of whatever the circumstance is, then you walk in the light of that. Then you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear. As long as you've hurt nobody and as long as you're walking within your truth, everything else people say, they want to talk anyway. They want to police everything you do. If you comment on something, they're going to police it. If you don't comment on it, they're going to police your silence. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And I don't blame people who feel that social media has become very toxic, because for some people, it's an opportunity to attack you for whatever motive they may have. Mm-hmm. It's also been known for orchestrated attacks on people, where people will literally gather in your name either to attack you about this, police you about that. Her husband died 10 years ago. Why is she smiling? There's always something. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And unfortunately, there is nothing you can ever throw at me that will hurt me.
Okay.
You see? So even if you don't like my music, it's okay. There's music I don't like either. Like, who am I to think you're going to like my music? Or you're going to like my radio show? Or you're going to like me? You know what I mean?
You're not so, tequila.
So even tequila, there are people who don't like tequila and don't understand. And that is also okay. And I think the sooner you understand that, and that's the one thing I love my dad for. When I went to boarding school, he reminded me, remember, not everyone is going to like you. And the one mistake you will make is trying to have all of them like you. Because then you lose yourself. But if you walk in your truth and in what you are about, your tribe will find you and your tribe will stay by your side for your entire life. So yeah, that's how I deal with social media. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Those were dope. Yeah, those were nice. I think I like this. I think we should. It's her idea, by the way, because she's like, I'm tired of your DMs. Can we just put them on the podcast?
Maybe we should do a love version of it.
What love version?
Of everyone that's asking you out. I'm joking, I won't. I won't do that.
What concerns me is the guys asking me out. Guys, grata banyana. And not in that way, but grata banyana. So please, guys, I don't bat for the other team. Never have, never will.
They think that maybe it's a secret or that, you know, they could convert you.
No, you're not going to convert me. And nix.
I think please tell them not to send pictures. That's all I ask.
There's also that. Guys.
Please ask them not to send pictures.
Guys, don't send me any inappropriate pictures because she gets them.
I've seen enough.
She gets them, not me. So let's play nice here. Kels, thank you for this incredible idea.
It's a pleasure.
We're going to do it once a month. Q&A from the DMs. And if you have any questions, send them to the DMs. And I'll make sure that we go through them. And depending on if you guys love doing this, we might even do it live online once a week. We'll see.
We'll see.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the DM Q&A on Wow, What a Week. We'll do it again in exactly 4 weeks. Kelis, our executive producer, Trevor and his crew at Pezulu Works, to Discover TV, let them be your stage. We are a part of the Africa Podcast Network. You can email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, please remember to like, subscribe, share, comment, opine. Till next week, have a great Wow Week in spite of yourselves. I'm out of here.